We need some film study, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Let's get our guy Greg Cosell. Normally on Thursdays at 4:20, nice enough to hop in on Wednesday at 4:20. Greg
which
on the front end.
It feels like a Friday.
It feels like a Friday, actually, which is a whole different thing. Greg on the front end, happy Thanksgiving, man. We're very thankful for you and your weekly visits and your friendship, and we appreciate your expertise.
Oh, thanks, guys. That's nice. I think I might cry.
As a lot of us,
we actually mean it too.
Yeah, a lot of Titans fans might have been crying during that game, trying to figure out what was going on there. Let's start with the Titans defense, Greg. They give up 83 yards on 38 carries. They give up 107 yards on 24 attempts.
The defense was not the issue, gentlemen. It's not really.
Oh, I'll get to the offense, but
yeah, I mean the Titans defense is not really worthy of chatting about. There's nothing wrong with the defense.
Here's why I'm asking. Because I'm getting two different thoughts on the defensive performance on Sunday. Some say because they couldn't force sacks, turnovers, explosive plays, things like that, that they didn't play well. I would argue against that point.
Well, those things don't happen necessarily every single week. You know, I don't really know where to go with this because I don't think that that's even really an issue. The Titans defense is very good, and it was good this week. The issue is their offense. I mean, they've had three pass plays of 20 plus yards in three games. That's not going to get it done. You know, it's really funny that I watched the tape of the Titans offense before the cut was made yesterday. And I basically said, it was interesting. I basically said that Adrian Peterson is not what he used to be. He just runs to get tackled now. And I guess they felt the same way. But yeah, the issue was not their defense. The defense is not a problem. It likely won't be a big problem against the Patriots either. The issue is, can they score?
Yeah. So where do we start with the offense? All right. Let's start with Tannehill. Does the film show where there might be a disconnect with Tannehill due to the receivers that he's having to throw to, the pressure that he's facing, the lack of run game? Is it a combination of all those things?
I mean, you have to look at individual plays. I mean, that interception, his first interception had nothing to do with any of that. Only Tannehill could tell me why he threw the ball that he did. I don't know how he did not see Grugier Hill on that first interception, which was in the red zone. So that was a big play because it was early in the game. I believe it was the final play of the first quarter.
Yeah.
So I do not know how he did not account for Grugier Hill when he threw the inbreaker to Brown. He also had another interception late where he just did not recognize a pressure, didn't increase his drop tempo, and therefore got hit on the throw. So, you know, Tannehill did not play well in this game at all. Now, it's very easy, and I'm sure people are doing this, and it's valid, but it's very easy to say that the three receivers who played the most snaps were Fitzpatrick, Rodgers, and Westbrook Ahene. That's easy to say,
but
I've always learned that you evaluate a quarterback in a vacuum. You evaluate his play. There may be a miscommunication here or there. There may have well been one on the ball he threw to Fitzpatrick that was intercepted.
Yep.
I don't know the answer to that because you'd have to ask them, but that's very possible. The issue is this team is not producing any explosive plays on offense. And when you combine that with an inability to sustain offense with a run game, your offense gets shut down.
Let's go back to that first interception where he didn't see the linebacker. That I can see in my head one other play, maybe more, where he did the same thing this year, where he just didn't see the linebacker drop in. I guess Cosell to fill in that in breaking route and he just didn't look on that side.
Again, he's the only one who can explain it, but I can tell you what happened. I can't tell you why it happened.
Yeah.
The Texans initially showed what we call a double mug look. Uh-huh. Okay, they had Grugier Hill and Cunningham lined up in the A gaps. Okay, so at the snap, they dropped out into coverage in what essentially became a split safety zone. It's what we call cover six. It's quarters to one side, cover two to the other side. So Grugier Hill, when he dropped out, becomes what we call the hook to curl defender to that side. Because it was trips to that side. So he was the hook to curl defender to the field side. And Tannehill tried to throw the in-breaker to Brown, and Gruje Hill is the hook-to-curl defender, literally sitting right there. So only Ryan Tannehill could tell you why he threw that, but he clearly did not account for Gruje Hill, or he would not have thrown the ball, because as you guys know, he threw it right to him.
Is that a common defense, Greg, to be played?
Oh, yeah, totally common. Right. Totally common. I mean, it's just split safety. It's just cover two to one side, quarters to the other side. You know, different people have different names for it. Yeah. I call it, you know, cover six, because it's quarter, quarter, half. That's essentially what the defense is. It's in everybody's playbook. It's extremely common in the NFL. Maybe because the two linebackers were mugged up in the A-gap to start, maybe it just didn't register that they dropped out. You know, I worked with Ron Jaworski for years, and he would tell me every once in a while, you just didn't see something that was obvious. You just did. It just didn't register. So maybe that was one of those plays.
Okay. I was asking that because I remember the Colts game. They had the opportunity to do the same thing. It was like the linebacker was sitting there. He didn't see him. Also in the Jets game.
Yeah, it's happened multiple times.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying.
I mean,
because the Titans love throwing that in breaker, and everybody knows it. Okay.
Right, right. So, I mean, again, I'm not ready to say that he has a blind spot on linebackers, on in breakers. Mm-hmm. Yes, he has done it before, but a quarterback with his experience should see that. That is not, Ron, to answer your question, it's a very common coverage, and it wasn't a big-time disguise. It wasn't as if five guys moved and it was, where are people? It was, you know, just a basic deal. Many teams line up with two linebackers in the A-gaps, too. That double mug front is a very common look as well in the NFL.
So let's go back to the interception that you mentioned, the attempted throw to Des Fitzpatrick toward the goal line. The uneducated eye that I have thought that it looked like Des probably should have cut in front of the defender's face, and that Ryan Tannehill maybe was throwing to that spot. Does the tape tell you anything, or does that get into, well, you know, Tannehill would have to tell us what he saw there?
He would, but my sense, and this is only a sense, you know, because I don't know the exact call, was that Fitzpatrick kind of got caught as he got to the top of his route stem into exactly what he should do. Okay. That's what it looked like. I could be wrong, and I don't want to knock Des Fitzpatrick. Maybe I'm wrong, but it looked like he did not give Ryan Fitzpatrick any kind of indicator, because receivers have to give a quarterback an indicator based on the specific route. And it looked like Fitzpatrick kind of got stuck as he got toward the top of his route stem and gave him no indicator. And then Ryan had to get rid of the football. I mean, he can't sit there all day in the pocket. He had to get rid of the football, and he probably did not have any real sense of what Fitzpatrick was going to do.
All right. What do you know about Kevin Hogan? Cosell, because
the receiver?
No, the exactly
the quarterback.
Yeah, there you go. Logan Woodside on COVID reserve today.
The quarterback who played at Stanford, who followed Andrew Luck.
Yes.
Kevin Hogan is your classic. I remember watching him coming out of Stanford. He had a funky delivery. Kevin Hogan's your classic tough guy, not a great thrower. Smart, you know, moxie, all those wonderful terms you use when a guy's not a great thrower. But that's what he is. You know, he's a backup type quarterback, probably a number three. Yeah. But in this era of COVID, when you have to pick up a guy, you know, 3 days before a game, guys become number twos real quick.
You were thinking Chris Hogan, huh? The receiver.
That's who I thought of. Yes. Mm-hmm. Or maybe Hulk Hogan. I don't know.
Or Hogan's Heroes.
Or Hogan's Heroes. Yeah, there you go. That really ages me.
Yeah, me too. Greg Cosell with us on 3HL, and you can get him at Greg Cosell on Twitter. Greg, what did you see from Dontrell Hilliard, the running back, number 40?
You know what? I liked what I saw. I thought, first of all, he ran exclusively out of 11 personnel, which means one back, one tight end, and three wide. I thought he looked quick downhill with short area burst. He clearly looked like the best back in terms of just the juice that he brought to the table. So I'm sure that's another reason they cut Peterson, besides the fact that Peterson just looked like he was running to get tackled. But, you know, we'll see. You know, I'm really fascinated to see what they try to do offensively against a really, really good defense.
Yeah, because them linebackers, man, they got some linebackers playing.
Hey, Greg, what happens if the Titans turn the ball over five times against the Patriots?
Well, then they will probably come away with a goose egg. You know, the Patriots are fascinating. The Patriots are fascinating on defense because they rarely ever play what would be viewed as base defense. Their base defense is what we call big nickel, meaning they play with three safeties. And two of the safeties, Kyle Duggar and Adrian Phillips, are essentially linebackers, and they're really good. Those two players allow them to play big nickel and still defend the run really effectively.
So what else do you see from New England offensively? They've won five in a row. You like what they're doing with their rookie quarterback, not asking him to really push the ball down the field, just kind of keep the game within himself?
Well, it's funny you ask that question because obviously Mac Jones, because he's a quarterback, is the one who's spoken about all the time, and he's played very well. He's an executor. He's a ball distributor. They don't really push it down the field. They keep it – I don't want to – simple's not the right word, nor do I want to say they don't ask him to do too much. That makes it seem bad as well. But they're not a passing team. They're a running team, and that's not talked about enough. They're among the NFL leaders in rushing attempts, and Jones is not part of the run game, so it's all running backs. Harris and Stevenson have combined for 210 carries, and they're old school. They put the quarterback under center to run the ball. They don't run the ball out of the gun very much. In fact, about 85% of Harris and Stevenson's combined rushes have come with Jones under center. So this is an old school run game. They line up, they try to hit you in the mouth, and they play that kind of game. And you combine that with how good their defense is, it's kind of 80s football. You know, it's like 90s Big Ten football, where, you know, you run the ball, you play good defense, and your quarterback executes efficiently. That's what the Patriots are right now.
So a lot of responsibility put on this offensive line. Hmm.
Yes, and it's played well. And some of the players people wouldn't even know as well. I mean, you know, I get the sense, I certainly don't know Bill Belichick well. I've been able to speak with him at times over the years. I spoke to him in a great conversation when I did my book 10 years ago with Ron Jaworski, spoke to Bill Belichick for an hour and 45 minutes, and it was one of the best football conversations I've ever had. But I would say he probably really enjoys coaching this team mm-hmm. and really enjoys playing this way. Sure, does he understand that you need big plays in the pass game at some point? Of course he does. But I bet he really likes the fact that this is a physical football team. It's old school. There's three phases of the game. You win with all three. I mean, my guess is he's really enjoying coaching this team.
So if Bill Belichick's thing is defensively coming up with a plan to stop your one thing, right?
What is the one thing you're going to ask me?
Yeah. Like, is he having a hard time figuring that out?
Is that a rhetorical question?
The Titans, they don't even know what the one thing is.
I guess it is.
You know, my sense is he'd still view this team as built on running the football, right, even without Derrick Henry. Because the way they're structured offensively, they're not a passing team per se. I mean, look, we know that Tannehill's had a lot of success throwing the ball since he became the starter. And there certainly have been games where he's had to throw it and done well. But I think the way this team is structured and put together offensively, that it starts with the run game.
Greg Cosell, really appreciate you, man. At Greg Cosell on Twitter, executive producer and analyst, NFL Matchup, and co-author of The Games That Changed the Game, as he just mentioned. NFL Films, man, the resume is long and distinguished. Thank you, Greg. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving, man, and we'll chat with you next week.
All right, guys, have a great holiday. Really appreciate it.